Why doesn't she just leave? It's a question that often bears down on women who are victims of family and domestic violence, of which they are three times more likely to experience than men. CEO of Women's Community Shelters, Annabelle Daniels, provides 30,000 sleeping nights a year to family violence victims in six shelters across Sydney.
I would say, why aren't we asking the question, why does he continue to abuse her, often when he's already promised to stop? I think, again, when we say why does she leave, we're blaming the victim. We need to look at why perpetrators abused in the first place. For me, you know, the corollary to the question, well, why doesn't she leave, is the answer, well, where would she go?
In Australia, one woman is murdered at the hands of her intimate partner each week, and this statistic is holding steady. Whilst this number is shocking, it doesn't account for the women being hospitalised, going to emergency departments, or just surviving physical and sexual violence at home. With such a stark lack of government funding, safe havens for women are struggling to keep up.
I could not believe the number of women that we were turning away. You know, for every bed that we had available, we'd get three equally desperate requests for it, at least. A couple of years ago, when we were setting up the Sanctuary Hills Women's Shelter in the Hills District, you know, we'd had a bit of media around setting up the shelter, and we had approximately 15 women attempt to put themselves on a waiting list for when the shelter was actually open, you know, which is 2.5 times the actual capacity of the shelter.
Professor Sarah Wendt is a professor of social work at Flinders University and has worked on the front line of domestic violence prevention. According to Professor Wendt, action needs to be taken across society to prevent family violence.
I would argue that domestic violence is an expression of gender inequality, and domestic violence in and of itself reinforces gender inequality. And so when we look at men's behaviour change or men's attitudinal change, often counsellors or social workers or psychologists who work from that premise of gender inequality would be not only wanting to stop the violence, so looking at tools about how men understand their use of violence and therefore how you stop it, but they would also be wanting to look at the broader social cultural messages that reinforce that violence is okay.
Domestic violence may be a national epidemic, but it's also being reflected worldwide. A recent study by the United Nations found that women across the globe are most likely to be killed by their partners. Professor Wendt has seen success in men's behavioural change programs.
Most programs here in Australia often have about 12 weeks where men come together, where a group is facilitated by either, you know, social workers or psychologists, facilitating that group to encourage men to talk about their lives, talk about their use of violence, where those ideas come from, talk about tools or other activities that can help enable behaviour change, but more importantly, how you engage in conversations with men about changing attitudes towards their use of violence or attitudes more broadly towards women and children who are the predominant victims of domestic and family violence.
To set up their newest shelter in Parramatta, Annabelle said strong community action was a necessity and reflected on the impact individuals can make in taking a stand against domestic violence.
Volunteers are the icing on the cake. There's a really wide range of activities that volunteers can get involved in the local level, and we see this as part of community education and awareness raising around domestic and family violence, because it's always been an issue that's kind of been closed off from communities before. And we actually think that that bringing people in to help solve the problem is both educative and supportive for the shelters.
Professor Wendt agreed actions need to be taken at a community level as well as being supported by the government.
It's really important that when you do understand domestic and family violence from a gender inequality perspective, this points to how community members might be able to respond safely and ethically when they come across it. And so, for example, we know in the research that if a woman or a child decides to reach out to someone just to check in and say, look, this is kind of what's happening, I'm not sure what's happening, I'm a bit scared, If they don't get a good response where they're believed or respected in telling that, that can often shut down women and children from ever seeking help again. And so I think the first step in responding to domestic and family violence as a community is that if women and children are brave enough to talk about this, then the first position should be one of listening, one of believing, and then one of asking, are you okay, and exploring the safety for that woman and that child.
The financial effects of family violence on victims is an often forgotten but devastating detail. In a survey of 700 women, Professor Wendt found that a large portion of these women had to stop work, change their place of employment, or drop from full-time to part-time roles.
So we know that domestic and family violence will often always have crisis modes. And so if we have supportive workplaces that allow women, say, a bit of time off, or, you know, just some space to get through that crisis, but they maintain their employment, then that's a really, really good response. So it's about being supportive, understanding that crisis can happen, and that having a bit of time off to collect one's social, emotional, financial and safety needs in that crisis, and then being able to come back to work, is an excellent response.
As Sydney's population continues to soar, domestic violence prevention and support facilities must keep up. In Camden, an area with a population that is set to grow by 300% by 2030, community support has been integral in the establishment of a new shelter by Women's Community Shelters. But Annabelle says more needs to be done by governments.
When we think about infrastructure, we can't just think in terms of roads and schools and shopping centres and parks. We have to acknowledge that there will be social issues that come with any increasing population, and we absolutely need to plan for them.
Professor Wendt made clear her thoughts on what is an overwhelming crisis.
Continue to have conversations, you know, as a community and as a society about this issue, no matter how hard it is to face. Otherwise, we're not going to come up with a solution.